Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I'm bringing to you some of the greatest news that has gone over the radio waves in years and years and years. And this is the news: Jesus is the Son of the Living God. He is alive and very, very well, and soon he comes. What a glorious thought that is! And I share with you today, because we have reached that point in the calendar, the church calendar, where we remember that Jesus went into Jerusalem triumphant, and the people took the branches of the palm trees and threw them on the ground, and this wild, never-ridden-before donkey didn't shy away because the Son of the Living God sat upon its back. That's a remarkable thing. I've ridden horses that were, quote and unquote, well-trained, I was told. And you know, one of the difficult things I had with this well-trained horse was if I was to put a slicker on, or a raincoat in English, whilst I was on his back, why, he spooked and slithered all over the place because he saw this monster thing flapping around. Jesus was riding this little donkey. The donkey had never been ridden before. Remember that, please. It's very important. And as he walked, people took their jackets and they threw them on the ground and they stripped the branches from the palm trees and they laid them on the ground in front of this little donkey, and it did not shy in any way. Jesus rode him as a king would ride into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you're believing in him, and your wonderful Redeemer. What a wonderful person he must have been. I'd like to share with you a lovely old hymn. I'm not going to sing it, but I want you to listen to these beautiful verses because they're so passionate and so thought-provoking. When I was a boy, we used to sing this, and it was written, by the way, somewhere in the 1700s, between 1722 and 1768. By Benjamin Francis, who translated it, and it says, Jesus, and shall it ever be the immortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus, soon afar let evening blush to own a star? He sheds the beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bid darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, ah, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus, yeah, yes, I may. When I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I boast a Saviour slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. We used to sing that at the baptisms when people were baptized in our church. Our dear old pastor used to stand at the front and he used to announce the hymn and we sang it. Now I want to take you for a few moments because I believe that many of you who love the Lord Jesus and are saints of the Lord Jesus need to get some things straight in your life. And I would like to share some of these things with you. It's a few years back that I was going to go to Israel, and Israel at that time was in great turmoil, and people were killing people and all that sort of thing that they seemed to keep on doing there. So my wife said, I want you to sign your will for sure and leave everything in its right place. And so I was rather ashamed that she would even think that I wouldn't do that, but I was also amused that she thought this was such a difficult place for me to go to that I might not come back. And so I was reading in the scriptures. This is a most beautiful verse or verses that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi. He says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know, or I wot not, in the Authorized Version. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I would like to share this word with you, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How many Christians do not believe that? Today we see and hear Christians, they try to believe it, they know it's written, and yet it isn't very powerful in their minds. And I want to share with you, my dear friends, to die is gain. Gain? Death is a plus in my eternal experience. Yet there is an instinctive rejection of death. But if I read from the New International Version, Hebrews 2 and verses 14 and 15, it says, since we, the children, have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Now here's a thing or two to consider. The Apostle Paul is telling us here, if I die, that's rich gain. Why? Because I shall be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now that doesn't mean we should go around saying, oh, I want to die. But it does mean that our heart's desire should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people come to me and say, pray for so-and-so, my brother, my sister, my father, my mother, they're dying. Well, what do they want me to pray? And I have to tell you, quite honestly, I have often prayed, Lord, if this is the last line that these people are going to write, or if this is the last breath they're going to take, quickly let them come to you and be separated from this body. Let them die. Now, that is not a popular prayer. The prayer that I'm quite sure people mean me to pray is, don't let them die. Don't let them die. Yet I pray that people will die with peace in their hearts, and that they will accept eternity, this new step into eternity, that they will accept it with peace, with grace, with rejoicing. It's an important thing for all of us to understand what the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, when he says, O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is taken out of the Christian. We have no problem. There is no problem with death, because we have one that has conquered death. Now, here's a strange thing. How can you conquer death? It's very simply done. Take another look at Mount Calvary. Take another glance at what Jesus accomplished when he died for our sins, and you will see that he died that we might live. You will understand that when sins are erased and sins are forgiven, we suddenly come to a place where death has no fear, because what it was charged against us was absorbed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this teaching is what the Bible says is passionately God's delight for us. Notice, and let's notice together, that death reveals losses and gains. Earthly things, we lose. Heavenly things, we gain. Time, we lose. Eternity, we gain. Loved ones are left behind. But where we go in eternity, there are no farewells, no how do you do's. We're lost in the presence of Jesus, it seems. Great personal gain. Earth joys are lost, but heaven's joys are multiplied in abundance to those that love Jesus. For instance, in this life, we're told that the American dream is being lost very quickly. Well, they shouldn't have called it a dream. It is a dream. Dreams come to an end. Have you never laid in bed and suddenly felt the whole bed shake because you've been falling, and you've landed, and your whole body has shaken the bed, and you've landed? It's an amazing thing. Wow, glad to wake up from that dream. One day I was being pursued by some people. I don't know who they were, but they wanted to get me. I don't know what they thought they were going to gain from getting me, but they were going to get me. And they were chasing me, and I was running as fast as I could. I couldn't have run faster if a grizzly bear had been chasing me. And I was running as fast as I could. All of a sudden, I woke up, and I was sweating, and I was grateful that I woke up. Earth's joys can't be compared to heaven's joys. Listen to Jesus. You can't find a house to live in. You can't afford the rent. Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, then if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Wow! He wants to put me in a mansion. Not, as some people have transliterated, an apartment. He wants me to have a mansion. I like that. I'm going to take the Authorized Version over all the others because I want a mansion. I like mansions. I want to think that I'm going to live in a mansion. I don't really care what it is, so long as I'm with Jesus. But there's great gain in going to heaven. So death has to be gone through, unless Jesus comes first. Death has to be gone through for us to gain that new joy. Now, here's another thing. On earth, we have weak bodies. We have bodies that crave all sorts of things, demands all sorts of things. And then we have bodies that decay, hurt, don't function right. Oh, the advertisements on the television are constant. If this isn't working, you need to go to this doctor. And if that isn't working, go to a different doctor, and so on and on and on. I had to go to a neurosurgeon. And I said to my wife, "We don't know anybody in this area. Who do I go to?" And she came to me with the yellow pages, and she laid the yellow pages in front of me, and she said, "Choose. There's a whole list of them." So we sort of said, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo," and stuck our finger on a name. We didn't know anybody in this area. So I went to see this man, and he said, "Who sent you to me?" In a rather jolly, but at the same time very inquiring, almost, "Why did you come to me?" I said, "We found you in the yellow pages." And he was miffed that we found him in the yellow pages. He said, "Well, surely somebody told you about me." "Nope, nobody told us about you. We don't know anybody, but I'm in desperate need, and so please will you help me?" And he's been the surgeon that has fixed my spine the last three times that it's been fixed. And he's been a constant friend ever since that time. Dear friend, I want to share this with you. We have a weak body on earth. Do you remember when you used to run here and run there? My mother used to say, "You were born in a hurry. You've been in a hurry ever since." And it's true. I could not understand why a man would only preach once or twice on a Sunday when he had opportunity to present the gospel five times. I was preaching five different places on a Sunday. I was having such a ball. Every time somebody said, "Will you preach over here or preach over there?" I didn't ask how far it was or if they could afford to pay my expenses. I said, "Yes." If the date was free, I went. I was in such a hurry. But now I am not in such a hurry. It takes me a long while. It takes me a long time in the mornings to do my ablutions and get dressed. It takes 45 minutes. It's awful. But in heaven, I have a glorious body waiting. Now, here's a beautiful thing to talk about. We know that this body in heaven will be like Jesus' body when he came back to the earth. So it's a body without blood, one would assume, because he poured out his blood in sacrifice for our sins. It's a body that can appear and disappear. It can walk through walls and just happen. It can travel, I suppose, at the speed of light, and it just zooms across the heavens. What a glorious body. But here's the thing that I do know for sure. There will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering. What a glorious body that is. What a glorious body. I have a friend who had polio when he was young. He still goes hunting and he still goes up into the forest and he lags himself around, but one leg doesn't work too well and hasn't since he was a boy. But that fellow will not be defeated. He goes out and he does what he wants to do. He's a determined man, a loving, wonderful man, by the way. But he's looking for that new glorious body where 2 feet are the same size and 2 legs are the same length and the pain goes out of his limbs. Oh, dear, what a glorious body it will be. And we shall know one another, and yet we shall be with Jesus. I look forward to the day when I see my parents. I've got so many questions now that I'm older. I would love to sit down with my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and I would love to ask them a million questions, but I don't think it's going to be of any value, and I don't think the questions will be relevant. All that will be is that we will each one rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things, says the Apostle Paul, and spoke of adult things. So what will my body be like? Will it be like my balding head now, or that shock of blonde hair I had then? I asked that question in a congregation one time, and a man came up to me after the preach, and he said, "You'll be what you were at 33 years old. I said, "How's that?" He said, "Well, the Bible says when you receive your new body, you shall be like Jesus." And Jesus was 33 years old or thereabouts when he was sent to heaven permanently. Well, that's an interesting discussion. I'm not sure I quite understand all of it, but it's there. We lose a lot when we die, but we gain infinitely more. There is more for us to gain than there is for us to lose. The apostle puts it this way, J.B. Phillips transliterates it this way, "I am torn in two directions. I long to leave this world. On the other hand, it is probably more necessary for you that I should stay on earth. This is a tug of war. We are in the hands of the Lord Jesus." Notice what Paul says in Romans 14 and verse 8, "If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Or, to put that a different way, we belong to the Lord, verse 8. The psalmist writes in chapter 31 and verse 15, "My times are in thy hand. A soon departure is expected. I have a desire to depart," he says in this verse that we're looking at. Death is the departure point. "As a boat looses its moorings, when I tread," says the hymn writer, "the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside." Oh, when I tread and land me safe on Canaan's side. The Lord will look after you. You don't have to worry about death. Death is the laying down of this body. From ashes we came, from dust we came. To ashes and dust we return. And this body will have done its job. It's been the vehicle of our spirit so that our spirit could become born again. And now it's born again. Our soul has a vehicle to take it to heaven. A quiet destiny is envisioned by the Apostle Paul. "To be with Christ," he cries. Weymouth says, "far, far better." It's not a place for sleeps. Though some people say so, Paul used the expression according to the Authorized Version. We forget that it means death. He says the body sleeps. That has to do only with the body, the unconsciousness after death. But if you go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 15, you can hear that we are so blessed of God. We shall be raised from the dead. I desire to depart and to see my loved ones. That is not what the word of God says. I depart to be with Christ. And therefore, in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19, to be with Christ, which is far better, is to die, and to die is gain. Do you have a question about this? Do you think it's terrible loss to die? It may seem that way to us, especially when a young person dies suddenly for some reason or another. We get caught up in this and we wonder, couldn't it have been different? Couldn't things have happened in a different way? The answer is no, but for us to die is gain. The gain of being with Jesus, of hearing his gentle voice, feeling his loving touch, of being in his presence, of knowing that I no longer need to pray vertically. I am now in conversation horizontally. The glory of God, the glory of the heavens, the glory of the earth, they're all different glories, but we shall be in the glory of heaven at that point. To die is gain. I look forward to the day. I don't look forward to the experience of dying. I look forward to the day when I shall leave this earth and be in the presence of Jesus. What a day. Oh, what a day of rejoicing it will be. A coronation day. A day when we receive the crowns of glory. And there are seven crowns, but we'll look at that at another day and another time. I want to share just this last thought with you. In that dear old hymn, are you ashamed of Jesus? When we say that we're frightened to die, we're saying Jesus didn't do a very good job of saving us for eternity. When we say that we don't want to leave our loved ones, we are saying that we've never really fallen in love with Jesus as we have with our loved ones. So is it gain if you die? Think about these things. Don't criticize me for bringing them up. Think about these things. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking quietly to us, and the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing. I just want you to know that the Lord Jesus will not lead you into a darkness. He will lead you into light. He will not lead you into hunger. He will lead you into satisfaction. He will not lead you into thirstiness. He will fill your soul with new life, running water. The Lord Jesus will hold your hand. You will not be alone in death. One of the tragic things is that when we die alone in the sense that we were born alone. Nobody was with us in the sense of helping us be born. We were born and we die. But the beautiful thing for the Christian is that when we tread that verge of Jordan, he holds our hand, takes us across the Jordan, lands us safe on Canaan's side, and we're alive. Oh, the old hymn writer writes, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I'm a pilgrim in this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And that is such a tremendous hymn. And it brings us to a place where we see not the changing scenes of life, not the understanding of a new day, but the understanding of eternal life, the life that I now have and the life that I shall live in heaven is the same. It's called eternal life. And God has given it to us. He is a lamp to our feet. He is the light unto our path. And he keeps us. Oh, the teaching of the Word of God is so passionate, and we need to look at it carefully. God did not save us to dump us. God saved us to keep us. And God saved us to bring us into his presence. And when we get to his presence, we may have to die first, but when we die, We go straight into the presence of God. Listen to this. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Open now the crystal fountain where the healing stream doth flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Then when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside, death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. When William Williams wrote that beautiful hymn, he wrote it in the 1700s, as the first one I read to you was written. He wrote it in such a way that people could understand life and death, guided by the living Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must stop here, but the Lord be with you, the Lord bless and keep you, and the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and all your ways be peace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you hold our hands as we face these times when we end our lives here and open our new life completely in heaven. Bless all who hear these precious words, for we ask it in the name of Jesus our Savior, and for his sake alone. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.